I'm pleased to be joined by the candidate for the 116th Assembly seat, Greg Johnson. Mr. Johnson, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. I'm very well.
This weather's been holding out. It's not bad, huh?
No, actually, we paid dearly for these warm days.
Yeah, right.
Back in April and May when it was still that four-letter word.
Yeah, then you just be like, July!
That's right.
So, the special election's been set.
Yes.
September 13th. You excited? You got to be excited.
I am. We're on a sprint now. Ever since May, we've been waiting for the date, and now it's here. So we've gone through the whole process. We've got everything filed, and we're ready.
Did you guys? Do you feel like you've lost some momentum waiting for this decision to come down?
Well, it was just the anticipation, you know, trying to find out whether it's going to be 60 days or 120 days.
Yeah.
So, but now we know. So we're all set. We've got our office grand opening today on Main Street in Whitesboro,
right?
Corner of Clinton and Main. So we're going to be there from 10 until 7. So anybody who would like to, you know, get to know us a little bit, come on down. We'll have some refreshments and we'll be happy to see you.
And it's the same day as the primary, so it's not really going to cost anything extra for the state.
Well, I think it is. I was down at the election bureau yesterday, and they have to put it on from 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. The primary is normally from noon until
Oh, I didn't
9.
Know that. I
yeah,
didn't
so
realize.
They got an added additional 6 hours to the election day. So it may cause a little bit of confusion because from 6 o'clock in the morning until noon, you won't be able to vote
right.
in the primary.
So you're going to have to go back twice.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's going to be two voting machines. As far as I understand now, this isn't written in stone yet.
Right.
But yesterday, that's what it looked like.
Well, that's kind of inconvenient.
A little bit, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
People like to vote. They like to exercise their right to vote.
Yep. And we hope that they do.
Twice.
Exactly.
In the same day. All right. So a couple issues that I wanted to get your take on. The closure of the jail out in Rome.
Yeah.
What would you have done to kind of sway the governor a little bit?
We went over there. I went over there last Tuesday when they had their rally. And they had a very interesting map. It showed the geographical location of the closures. And during a period when consolidation is a catchword, it appears as though what New York State is doing is unconsolidating, if that's a word, the prison systems, because what they had done in the Mohawk, Oneida correctional facilities, along with the food preparation facility mm-hmm. that they made, you don't see where there's any consolidation. It appears as though this was a political and not an economical decision, because as you look at their map, and it had a bullseye on the Mohawk mm-hmm. Valley right here, Western New York had one of 12 closures, Finger Lakes, 0 of 8, North Country, 0 of 12,
mm-hmm.
Hudson Valley, 0 of 7, and downstate only had 3 closures out of about 22. Here in the Mohawk Valley, 3 out of 7. So
yeah,
we took it badly.
And that's, you know, the correctional jobs, the correctional workers, I mean, that's a big part of our workforce.
That's right. And
that's one of our biggest.
And the Oneida Correctional Facility was one of the safest. They've done tremendous job upgrading it.
Yeah.
And it's dependent and codependent with Mohawk because they share the same power, the steam, the water, the sewer. They won't be able to close the building down, and they will never be able to sell it.
It just doesn't make sense why they closed
no
that one. And, you know, look at Plaxico Burress was in there, former New York Giant.
There you go.
Ja Rule the rapper. It's a high-profile jail.
Right.
And it just seems like so that pretty much is just going to sit there. And it's going to be,
it's going to sit there and suck money, because it's going to have to be heated because it shares the.
Yeah, exactly. It shares facilities. So, come on. It doesn't make sense.
And again, it appears as though it's a political decision, not an economical decision. And you move those prisoners away from the food preparation source. So now you've got to take and transport the food instead of 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
200 miles. It makes no sense.
And there is a rally today in front of... Today's Tuesday, right?
Today's Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, it's only Tuesday. There's a rally in front of the state building at 3:30 today for the closure of the jail. So if you want to get down there and show your support, get down there.
I'll be there.
Nice. Gay marriage. I always say gay marriage. Everybody says, no, it's marriage equality. Mm-hmm. Marriage equality. What's your position?
Well, as far as the legislative season went this year, I think that they did a very good job of getting the budget out on time. I don't think they should have spent so much time on social issues.
Yeah,
I would be
like
for
it.
Putting this up to a referendum vote for the citizens to decide, because I don't think it is as popular as they try to make you believe it.
They really shove it down your throat.
They did.
They pushed it, they pushed it, they pushed it, and that was all they were talking about for 2 weeks was, right. Oh, gay marriage might be on the ballot today. No, we're pushing it off. And,
right.
And it's just like, come on, guys, you this know, is foolishness.
In New York State, we have so many things that are so important as far as creating jobs.
Yeah.
And other issues that, again, they spend a whole lot of time on the social issues and not on what's really, really important.
What about the ethics reform that they've been working on and
pushing
through? Well,
they came up with a bill, yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that was, I did sign that pledge last year when I was running for the ethics reform,
yeah.
Independent redistricting and budget reform. So they seem to be working in that direction. It can't be done overnight, but it's a step in the right direction.
Greg, why don't you tell people, what sets you apart from your opponent?
Well, the last thing that we need in Albany is another Democrat lawyer. Government was supposed to be made up of a cross-section of the citizens, businessmen, manufacturing people, employees, farmers, and anybody else. The problem, the advantage that lawyers have is that they can leave their practice for 3 days a week and still go home back and have a job.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You can't leave here.
No, I sure can't.
And most people who have a job can't take 3 days a week and go off to Albany and do their civic duty. Fortunately for me, I had a very successful career. I've raised my family, and I can spend 100% of my time at the task at hand. So I'm very much up to date on the issues. And when I get there, I won't be under the thumb of Shelley Silver and the downstate Democrats. They have controlled New York State politics for the last
100 years.
I'm glad
forever. It seems like it's just been the same crew on there.
And so how has the Mohawk Valley fared? In the last 20 years, and last year when I ran under the previous assemblywoman, we lost in her reign 10,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Now here we are a year later, it's 11,000 jobs. We're hemorrhaging jobs in the Mohawk Valley.
How do you stop it? How do you kind of put the tourniquet on the old wound?
Well, we have to find a way to create jobs. There's New York State, progress is always based upon improving the human condition,
mm-hmm.
and so we utilize our natural resources. That's what happened in the past, because the Empire State became the Empire State because we utilized the natural resources that we had at the time. And we went through different changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the mills.
Right.
We had the factories. And we had the jobs. And for whatever reason, New York State wasn't able to maintain those. And we understand what they are now. And right now, it's high taxes and high energy costs. So let's utilize our natural resources. There's been a real argument about hydrofracking.
Yeah.
But 5,000 feet below our feet, we have a nearly unlimited supply of energy. And so we have to protect our natural resources, absolutely, but we also have to utilize them. When you're cold in the wintertime and you turn your thermostat up a degree or two, or you get in the shower and you've got hot water, where do you think it comes from?
Yeah.
And we have this natural resource, so potentially we can. And with the natural gas resource that we have, I mean, it's for decades we can supply energy. So what does that do? Give us lower energy costs, and that will bring business into the area, and business means jobs. Jobs means revenue for the government.
So you're in favor of hydrofracking?
I am. And again, the DEC and the EPA has come out with their scientific study, and they say it is safe. It's been proven safe every place that they do it. And we've been drilling for natural gas for 70 years. So that is the clean source. If you don't want to use coal, if you don't want to use other sources, that's the way to go. And again, the DEC and the EPA have done the scientific study and said it can be done safely. We have to get the emotion out of it and look at it scientifically.
And that's the thing. People... People hurt their arguments when they get so crazy about things.
They do.
And it just makes them look like a bunch of, you know, kind of weirdos, tree huggers, if you want to use the term.
Who are the first people to benefit from a gas lease? The farmers. The farmers that have 1,000 acres of land. Let's just use that as a base number. Okay. First off, this morning when you put cream in your coffee or drink a glass of milk or put milk on your cereal, you better thank the farmer because he is not being paid what that glass of milk costs to produce.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So every time you take a drink of a glass of milk, say, thank you, farmer, because I'm not paying you what this is worth. The farmer is going to get a gas lease that's going to be very good, very substantial.
Yeah.
So with that money, what he can do is he can no longer have to worry about how he's going to pay his taxes next year, how he's going to be able to buy the fuel for his tractors to put in the crops and everything. He'll be able to increase his production, increase his workforce, and if, in fact, there is an impending world food shortage, we have the ability to take care of that. We are the breadbasket. Utilize it. And that's jobs, jobs, and jobs. And revenue, revenue, revenue.
Yeah. We're talking with the candidate for the 116th Assembly seat, Greg Johnson. The hydrofracking is the next big thing, the debate. If the government, the studies have been done.
That's right.
They see the results.
That's right.
But then, you know, everybody's pointing to, like, examples over here and over there. Pennsylvania is going to get the money from this. New Jersey is going to get the money from this. And New York's going to be left out in the cold.
See, New York has two shale deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And one that everybody talks about is in the southern tier, the Marcellus Shale.
Yeah.
There's another shale deposit below that. And that goes all the way from Toledo, Ohio, up into Canada. And that's another 5,000 feet below there. So any place that you walk in New York State, there's a potential for natural gas underneath your feet. We see the shale outcroppings around here.
Yeah.
I mean, you drive down the thruway towards New York and Herkimer, you see the shale.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the water coming out of the shale and all that kind of stuff. The other thing that you don't see is the lakes and ponds that whenever we're on a boat around here and you see the bubbles popping up. That's natural gas.
Yeah.
And people that say, oh, they on TV they had that show that showed water.
Oh, the sink on fire that's been around forever.
There's people in Holland Patton right now that can do that with their faucets.
Without hydrofracking.
Without hydrofracking. It exists in our environment. So.
You can't do that. Hydrofracking will set your water on fire.
On Oneida Lake, there are certain areas that it doesn't freeze. I mean, Oneida Lake freezes. And it's slushy and all that.
Yep.
So, well, there's a lot of natural gas coming up at that spot.
Yeah, it's the hysteria that people want to associate with it that I think is going to actually hurt their hurt their cause. So,
sure.
Greg Johnson, thank you so much. And
can I add?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Find me at www.votejohnson1.com. 16th.com. That's the website. We're at votejohnson116th@gmail.com. And our telephone number in our office is 768-2750. And again, come down and see us today. And we're also going to have a fundraiser at Hearts Hill Inn on July 21st. And Greg Edwards, who was Lieutenant Governor, will be there. And he'll be the keynote speaker talking about the future of the Republican Party.
Nice. Busy time.
It is.
Knocking on doors and kissing the babies.
That's
Do you kiss babies? Do politicians really kiss babies?
No, but I'm in the parades. I've been feeding the dogs.
Well, that's all right. That's all right.
Dog treats are a good thing.
Again, the number is 768-2750 to get a hold of Mr. Johnson, or go to votejohnson116th.com for more information. And I saw your office down there in the corner of. It's Clinton and Whitesboro, right?
Clinton and Maine.
Clinton and Maine in Whitesboro. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's... I know that name. Yay. So, good luck, and we're looking forward to the election. It's going to be... I think it's going to be pretty... I think it's going to be a good time.
It is. And we're looking forward to representing you in Albany.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thanks.